What I'm going to do this morning is to pick up from where we left off before the Lenten season, the Passion Week, and Easter in our Knowing God sermon series, Knowing God Through His Names, Attributes, Titles, and Metaphors. So far, we have dealt with God's name Yahweh and some of His attributes. We discovered that Yahweh is a merciful God, a gracious God. He's so kind and He's so compassionate. He's so forgiving. He is an awesome God. He is also slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. However, today we move on to yet another name of God called Yahweh Sabaoth, meaning the Lord of Hosts, which Eugene Peterson's Message Bible translates as the God of Angel Armies. Our text this morning is coming from 2 Kings chapter 6. So if you have a copy of God's Word, please turn with me to 2 Kings chapter number 6. We are going to read verses 8 to 17. And once you find it, it's a good practice, a good tradition to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 8. To 17, Scripture has this to say. When the king of Syria was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, "We will mobilize our forces at such and such a place." But immediately Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, "Do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there." So the king of Israel checked the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. Verse 11. So the king of Syria was troubled by this. He called his officers together and demanded, "Which of you is the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans?" "It's not us, my lord, the king," one of the officers boldly replied. "Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom." That's spooky. Verse 13. "Go and find out where he is," the king commanded, "so I can send troops to seize him." And the report came back, "Elisha is at Dothan." So one night the king of Syria sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. Gehazi was terrified. "Oh, sir," he said to Elisha, "what will we do about this?" The young man cried. Verse 16. "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. May the Lord add a blessing to the public reading of his word, and you may be seated in God's presence. Yahweh Sabaoth, the God of angel armies. Yahweh Sabaoth occurs more than 270 times in the Old Testament. The first time this name appears in the Bible is in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 3 and 11. This is the story of childless Hannah, who wanted a son so badly and earnestly prayed to the Lord, "Would you please grant me my desire?" She made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, God of angel armies, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your murdering servant and remember me and not forget me, your servant, but will give your murdering servant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life." You find that story in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and specifically verse 11. Yahweh Sabaoth, the God of angel armies, is a name that describes God as all-powerful. He rules over the vast multitudes of angels and stars and armies and powers in the heavenlies. He is the God without equal, no rivals, but who is keenly present with his people. What a powerful name he is. The name of God. Yet the first time this powerful name appears in the Bible, it comes from the mouth of a humble woman who is praying in her anguish and distress for a blessing from God, the God of angel armies. Hears her prayer. She gives birth to a son and names him Samuel. And Anna keeps her promise to the Lord. She gives Samuel to God's service all the days of his life and brought him to the man of God in Shiloh, Eli, specific. Samuel grew up to be a great spiritual leader and prophet in Israel. He was a seer and a man who mediated between Israel and God. Hannah's story tells us that although God is indeed the God of angel armies, he cares about the weary. He cares about the broken. He cares about the voiceless and the marginalized. In their darkest hour, the God of angel armies hears their prayer when they call, and he heals them. He fights their battles. In a song, "I Know My Redeemer Lives," Nicole C. Mullen says, "The very same God that spins things in the orbit, whose words alone can catch a falling star, runs to the weary, the one or the worn and the weak, and the same gentle hands that hold me when I am broken. They conquered death to bring me victory. Now I know that my Redeemer lives." He lives indeed. Whatever your need, the Bible assures you that you can cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He loves you. He knows your pain. God, the creator of the universe. God, the one who is more powerful than anyone or anything you can ever imagine. That God cares about you. Even the minute details. He knows when one piece of hair falls from your head. God counts it. That's how much God thinks about you. You are special in the sight of God, and you are worth a Savior to die on the cross for you. In fact, God himself stepped down from the glories of heaven and became man, walked among us, and died, was resurrected, ascended, and was glorified because he loves you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, in the Amplified says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns, once and for all, on him. For he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Nobody touches you without touching the apple of God's eye, because he neither slumbers nor sleeps. Day and night, he watches over you. Saints, Yahweh Sabaoth, the God of angel armies, watches over you day and night. Not because of who you are and what you have done and what you have given him, or because you worship him, but because he loves you. Remember, he's God. Even before you lift your hands to God, he is still God. So even if you boycott worshiping God, just so you know, he is still God without you. And therefore, because you put your trust in this God, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment shall be condemned, the Bible says. Now, since we know about the God of angel armies, who are these armies of angels? We all know that there are a lot of different angels with different functions. We know that from the Word of God. Angels like the cherubim and the seraphim, messengers, warriors, guardian angels, and the 24 elders, and so on. There are millions of angels. But the question is, do they have wings? Do they leap from one building to the other like superheroes? Or are they like the glorified body of Jesus who walks into a building through the wall? There is a fringe controversy, misunderstanding, and confusion about angels. Who are they? What do they do? And why do they exist? Well, let's find out in a crash course on angelology. Are you ready? There we go. Here's our first point. Angels are created spiritual beings for the purpose of serving and worshiping God. Angels are created spiritual beings for the purpose of serving and worshiping God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 affirms, "For in Christ all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." Revelation chapter 5 verse 11 to 12 says, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders in a loud voice. And they were together saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor, glory and praise.'" Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And they never cease to say that day in and day out. So there are millions of angels. They exist for the purpose of serving God and worshiping God. Now, here's a question for you. What is one way that you can follow the angels' example in serving Yahweh and living a lifestyle of worship dedicated to God all the days of your life, not just on Sunday morning, but your entire week dedicated to God in the way you live, to honor the Lord in what you say, what you do, what you think, and in everything you touch, live a lifestyle of worship, submitted to a holy God? What is that going to look like in your life if you make that decision today? What is going to change? Please answer that question in your heart. Second, angels also serve and protect believers. Not only do they serve God and worship him, they also protect believers and serve them. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to save those who will inherit salvation?" And Psalm 34 verse 7 also says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." Angels, saints, serve believers, protecting the vulnerable and hopeless. That's Matthew 18, verse 10. Proclaiming God's messages to believers and to the world. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 to 12. And executing God's judgments. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 to 3. Now, if you think about it, has there been a time in your life when you believed God's angels were protecting you? God answers prayer, and sometimes he sends angels. Here's a good example. Acts chapter 12, verse 6 to 11. Scripture says, "The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, 'Quick! Get up!' And the chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel told him, Get dressed and put on your sandals. And he did. Now, put on your coat and follow me, the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell, following the angel. But all the time, he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street. And then the angel suddenly left him. Peter finally came to his senses. It's really true, he said. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me. Since sometimes God sends an angel to answer the prayers of the saints, including your prayers. What God did for Peter, he can do for you. But the question is, how does knowing that God sends angels when we pray change your prayer life? How does that change your faith? How does that change your confidence in prayer and in calling upon the name of the Lord? Now, you may not see all this happening in the spiritual realm. It's the hand of God that covers your eyes so that you don't see what is going on in there, because it will drive you crazy. You lose your mind. And God can remove his hand if he wants for you to see. But thank God for his hand of his glory that covers our faces. And here's our last point. Angels are not gods, and thus we should not worship them. They are not human either, even though they sometimes take on the human form. And that's what we see in Scripture often. Angels were not created in the image of God like human beings. Humans are not angels. They do not become angels after they die. How many have heard about that? Out there in society, some people think like when you die, you become an angel. You're somewhere in the balconies of heaven looking down on your brother or sister or encouraging somebody as a witness. But no, you don't become an angel when you die. And angels are not men, even though they can take a form of human beings, as earlier mentioned. That's why Scripture says we might entertain angels unaware. Because you just never know. It might be an angel that's knocking on your door. Would you open? Admittedly, angels are real, powerful, and amazing. But we should not worship or pray to angels. But Scripture clearly teaches that we are not to worship angels or pray to them. Here's a good example. After God used an angel to reveal to the Apostle John what was going to happen in the future, John's first reaction was to fall down and worship the angel. The angel, however, immediately rebuked him. We find that in Revelation chapter 22, verse 9, which says, I, John, fell at his feet, the feet of the angel, to worship him. But he said, you must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brethren, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Worship whom? God. And who said this? An angel. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 verse 10, when he was being tempted by the devil, quoting the Old Testament, he said, "Worship the Lord your God only, and him alone shalt thou worship." Beloved, God hates idolatry because only God is worthy of our worship, and he will not share his glory with another. What happened to Herod might happen to you. He ascended the podium and gave an amazing speech. And everybody said, "Wow, that was the voice of a God." And he went to his head. Suddenly, God sent an angel, and right there, a worm ate him. He died suddenly. Don't ever share the glory of God. You put yourself in harm's way. That was just a bonus. Psalm 91, verse 11 to 12. The Bible says, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." So God sends angels to guide you, protect you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You can take that literally or otherwise. But the fact is, an angel is dispatched on your behalf. Chris Tomlin says in his song entitled "The God of Angel Armies," he says, "I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind me. The God of angel armies is always by my side." This revelation should bring us hope, peace, and confidence in God, our Father, knowing that he is with us and his angels are protecting us day and night. This does not mean that no harm will ever befall us. However, it does mean that we can live our lives knowing that God is in control and that he even sends angels to protect us. We can put our hope, our trust, and our faith in a God who is well able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond that which we may ask or even think about, because he is an awesome God. Are you facing a difficult situation that is so miserable? And you may be wondering how you are going to make it through. Remember today that God is the God of angel armies, and part of the role of angels is to protect God's people. And here is our conclusion. In our text, 2 Kings chapter 6, and to be specific, verses 17. Although Elisha's servant, Gehazi, couldn't see it until Elisha prayed for his eyes to be opened, they were surrounded and protected by horses and chariots of fire. The Lord was indeed on Elisha's side with angel armies. Here's a question for you. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? I lay before you life and death. Hint, hint. Choose life. Hint, hint. Choose light over darkness. But here's my prayer for you. May the Lord open your eyes this morning so that you may see God and his angel armies when they go to battle on your behalf. Scripture says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And there is no weapon that is formed against us that shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against us shall be condemned by God. Especially if you are on God's side. If God be for us, who can be against us? When you think about the message this morning, what do you think God is saying to you? And what do you think He wants you to do about what you heard today? God, our Father, we thank You because You are a great God. The greater I am, was, is, and is to come. Creator of the entire universe. You are indeed a God of angel armies. You hear us when we call, when we pray. You come down to our deliverance. Thank You for fighting our battles. And we know that if You are on our side, no one can be against us. As we go through the battles of life, may we remember that we serve a mighty God, the God of angel armies, and call upon His name for help. Help us to live out this word in our lives and not be hearers only. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord shine His face upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord raise His countenance and turn His face toward you and give you His shalom, the peace that transcends all human understanding. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have prayed. And somebody in the house said amen.